But, you know, we did a whole special. One of our local channels did a whole special on these guys that are hanging out on the corners. You know, whether you should give them something or not. And I'm just going to leave it up to you. We don't teach lifestyle control here. You do what you feel compelled to do in your heart. But there have been times where Gene and I are scrambling for something if we want to give something, you know, if we feel compelled to. And usually there's something in my car, whether it's gift certificates to a restaurant or a McDonald's or something. Keep those handy. But years ago, I gave up the idea that I had to judge someone. Years ago, long time ago, I realized something, that Barry's not the judge. Christ is the judge, and he judges with a whole lot more compassion than I do, and most human beings. And so whatever we do that is good, can I tell you something? Even if an atheist does something good, it's an act of worship. They may not know that, but the Bible says all good things honor God. It's an act of worship. I don't judge their faith, because they are a faith person too. They just believe God isn't. So that's a faith walk. Y'all see that, right? And so what we say is, thank God, we don't have to judge anybody. We get to honor God in good things we do. And I hope today you'll feel that you witnessed something that honored God in some way. That's our hope for you. Are you ready to get into the Word just for a couple of minutes? I want to get into the Word. We're not gullible here. It isn't whatever Barry says goes here. We say this: if you don't find what I teach in these books called the Bible, ignore me, run fast. Okay, how's that? So, you know, it's not Barry's way or it's the highway. We give a lot of room in this facility for people to think differently than me. Because if you're married, you're probably married to a person that's imperfect, like my wife. And so she will let you know that I am that, and that's okay. But she loves me anyway. Well, that's where God's at. God's got this amazing love for us in spite of ourselves. Isn't that great? I mean, seriously, if this is a point in your life where you're coming to kind of a faith crisis or a faith crosswalk, what am I going to do with faith? Is faith really going to be a part of my life? Let's suppose God is actually who he says he is. Okay, just go with me on this. What do you lose? If God is actually who he says he is the creator of the universe, and he is actually the savior of the world, what do you lose to follow him? You gain everything. It's a win-win situation. I can't tell you how many funerals I do in this auditorium where people who never consider faith as the faith in Christ, I'll say it that way, as an option. They never really consider that as an option, but they come into this room and this is what they're hoping. Somebody say something that makes me feel better about this situation. And I can't tell you how many times I've been in funerals that I wish I hadn't gone. It wasn't that I have to just feel better. It's there was no hope given. And I will tell you, this is what the Bible teaches. This isn't what Barry teaches. The Bible teaches wherever Christ is involved, there is hope. So there's got to be something good in this whole picture of Jesus Christ. He comes into our lives and he impacts us, transforms us. I'm going to get into the Word and show you that. But he transforms our lives, and we can live this faith life imperfectly, though we do. Live imperfectly the faith life, discovering things along the way. How many will tell me you're not the same person today that you were 30 years ago? Be honest with me. How many will tell you're not the same person that you were 30 years ago? And I thank God for that. I thank God that you're not, and I thank God I know I'm not the same person I was 2 years ago. Isn't that great? So we actually get room to change. We actually get room for Christ to change us. And I want to talk to you real quick about this thing I kind of have fun with. We travel quite a bit. You know that in this church. You know that we take missions around the world. And how many have gone through TSA? How many have ever gone through TSA? Let's see hands. I want to see hands. I'm getting these little fingers. Hands, you ever gone through TSA? What is it? Security at the airport to go back through the back end. It's to make sure you're not a terrorist. Those guys. First of all, does anybody work for the TSA today? Are we recording and going out? Are we live stream? Oh. We love you, TSA. You're doing a great job. Keep it up. My name's Dave Rispoli. It's okay. No, my name's Barry Ivy. I will own it. But if you've ever gone through TSA, what do? Guys, we take our jackets off. We do a security check, right? We take our jackets off. Got to take our belts off. Now, if they say you're TSA pre-check, that just means you don't have to take your belt and your shoes off. That's all that really means, just so you know. You still got to come clean. I've seen guys in front of me, you know, pull out a Boy Scout pocket knife and go, "Oh no, not my Boy Scout pocket." And they hand them the bucket. You got to put your Boy Scout pocket knife in, and they're, "Oh no. Oh, I've had this since I was a kid. I'm an Eagle Scout. I got this on my..." You want to fly? Put it in the bucket. There's this security check that we all go through. Aren't they the most wonderful people in the world? Aren't they the people that'll make you feel the best about yourself as you go through? I mean, it just reminds me of something you'd see on the old Carol Burnett show with Tim Conway or, you know. But it's a security check, and that's a very important check. If you come back from Europe, we in Lisbon, Portugal, we took a team into some of the lowest, Quinta de Lage was the neighborhood or barrio that we were in. When we came back through Lisbon, Portugal to go to the United States, remember, we went through 3 security checks in 1 airport. We stripped down 3 times in 1 airport. I lost 2 coffees between, it's crazy. But why do they do that? Because they don't want someone hurting you and me getting on that plane. And so if you are TSA, we applaud you for what you do. Seriously, we really do. Yes, thank you. We do applaud you. I have fun with you. By the way, the last time I went through security, coming back through Miami, the TSA guy started singing "Staying Alive" as I was coming through the... It's the truth. He did. He started singing "Staying Alive" going through the... But those checks are important. And today I want to ask you about a faith check. Just stop for just a few minutes. What do you really believe? Do you really believe that Jesus is who he said he is? That's the simple question today. Do you really believe he is who he said he is? Because I'm going to give you 3 categories to choose from, and then I'm going to read something from Paul. I actually believe in reading the Bible in church. 3 things. Either Christ is who he said he is. That means fully God. And I had a young man tell me one time, he never said he was God. Oh, yes, he did. Check out the New Testament words of Jesus himself. Yes, he did. He said he had the power to forgive sin. Only God. If you ask a Jewish person, only God. Only God could forgive sin. He said he had the power to heal. And many witnesses saw the healings. And so he went in a corner and hoped somebody got well and came out and said he's good. No, they were witnesses. The public blind man, everybody saw the beggar at the gate entering the city, saw he was there blind and he was begging. And all of a sudden he's saying, you know, all of a sudden he can see, and he's telling people that he can see, and he's telling them things that only a person who could with sight could identify. And I love that. There's an old song, and it's not an old song. There's a country song, Christian song that goes, "Hey, if you don't believe the things that Jesus did, ask the blind man. He saw it all." I love that. You know, the guy gets up, he's crippled, and Jesus says, "Get up and walk." And he does. That guy's been outside that gate for 20 years, and he's crippled. And now all of a sudden he's, what's the word say? Leaping and jumping and praising God. So let's suppose he is. He's either who he said he is. Now don't get mad at me on the next 2, okay? He's either who he said he is, or he's a liar. I'm brave enough to bring it up because I believe God knows my heart here. He's a liar. He's a bald-faced liar. He absolutely schnookered everybody and had everyone convinced he is the Son of God or the followers that he had. But think of this, what I just said. How many witnesses witnessed his miracles? I mean, I'm talking if you read by several accounts, not just Matthew, not just Mark, not just Luke, not just John, but there were witnesses, 15 to 20,000. The Bible says there were 5,000 plus women and children. You add that up, it's probably around 15,000 people watched him multiply the bread and the fish. You know, the disciples are begging him, hey, do me a favor, send them to a restaurant somewhere. We can't feed them. And Jesus said, just tell them to sit down. Oh, up to about 15,000 people, 5,000 minimum. And this child walks up, and all of a sudden Jesus starts multiplying the fish and the bread. Too many witnesses saw who he was. Too many witnesses saw him actually crucified. Even if you just believe the Roman guard was around him, that was an order. That was an order from Pilate. So he was witnessed as dying, and the Bible says in the book of Acts that over 500 witnesses saw the resurrected Jesus after he was buried. 500 witnesses, according to the book of Acts. So you know what? Here's the truth. We determine things in courtrooms all the time by the amount of witnesses. Not by what the plaintiff or the victim is saying, but by the witnesses that can corroborate the story. There were thousands who corroborated the story that Christ had resurrected. So I don't think he was a liar. I have to throw that one out. I actually have to throw that one out. And the third one is he was a lunatic. He actually believed he was who he said he was, but he's a full out, all out. He's not well. Maybe mental illness. I don't know. But whatever the third category is, he actually believed he was that, but then he had to prove it. Now, let me tell you something. If you're a liar and they're about to nail big stakes through your hands, liars don't die for their lies. Because liars are usually cowards, aren't we? And any of us that lie, we lie because we want to cover something. We're cowards. And we don't want that known. And so if you're a liar, you're going, oh, I'm just kidding. Don't put the stake through the hand. I'll denounce everything I've said, right? Doesn't that make more sense? Well, the lunatic would die in his sin. Because he actually believes the person who actually is not well, or he's just all on whatever, believes he is who he says he is, and he's willing to die for it. Many have. Because they believed it. What was his name, the minister years ago over in, was it Guyana? Jim Jones. Reverend Jim Jones. 700 to 900 people died believing what they were doing was right. But too many people again saw the miracle, the miracles, the miracles. 10 lepers at a time being healed, restored, leprosy gone. Jesus didn't say, now go hide it. He said, now go to the priest in the city and verify your healing. In other words, he sent them to the doctors and he said, go verify your healing. And they were, only one came back, by the way, to thank him. He said, didn't I heal 10? Where are the other 9? So that's what I want to ask you today. And this is how I just want to have a faith check with you really quick. We have about 5 or 6 candidates or participants that are going to be baptized. But this is what Paul said in the book of, if you have a Bible with you, great. If you don't, it's going to be on the screens. That's okay. It's Philippians chapter 3. They're going to look it up here real quick. Philippians chapter 3. I'm actually going to start with verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. Paul was always writing things to the early church. They called them epistles. They were letters to the local churches, and he was usually answering questions that they were writing to him. What do we teach on this? How do we handle this particular issue, whatever it is? And he said, in verse 2, he says, watch out for those dogs. And by the way, he's actually referring to religious men. He's not referring to the low of the community. He's referring to highly religious people. Okay. And he says, watch out for the dogs, those men who do evil, these mutilators of men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. He's actually talking about circumcision, just so you know. He's not talking about murderers that you took someone's life. He's talking about you believe that you're right with God only because you have circumcision. For it is we who are the circumcision, he says, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason to put such confidence. Paul knew who he was. Paul knew he was a righteous man. He said, I could brag on it, but I'm not going to brag on it. I could put confidence in my circumcision, but I'm not. And then he goes on to say, if anyone thinks he has reasons to put confidence in his flesh, in other words, your goodness, your own goodness, without Christ, I have more. Paul's very confident, by the way, of his walk with God. He's very sure of himself, and I enjoy that at times. He says, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church. Did you know that the writer of this was named Saul before? He was named Saul. And he was a persecutor of the church. He ordered the stoning of this amazing, godly man named Stephen. Do you know that the writer of almost half the New Testament was a murderer? Then he ran into Jesus on a road to Damascus. And he got knocked off his horse, blinded for 3 days. You see, he met the real Jesus. He didn't meet this religious guy. He met the real Jesus. Why do you persecute my people? Bang. Knocks him off the horse. Right? I think I would be able to write some New Testament things too if Jesus knocked me off my horse, blinded me for 3 days, got my attention that way. I'd write some things, I can tell you that for sure. He goes on to say, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. In other words, I keep the law. That's what he's saying. I keep the law of the Old Testament. But whatever to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss. What is Paul doing right here? He's having a faith check. Get the point. He's stripping down. He's emptying it all out of his pockets. He's doing this spiritual faith check. This, I'm going to lay it all on the table. Look, I could be clean. I could declare I am righteous without Jesus. I could do that. But he's just stripping down saying, but nothing on me is good enough. There's nothing in my spiritual pockets. There's nothing I bring on this aircraft, this journey with me of Christ, of my own that's worth it. I'm emptying myself. And this, listen to the rest of what he says. He says, but whatever was to my profit, in other words, my bragging rights, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of God, Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish. In other words, all the days I didn't sin, that is just rubbish. I don't even brag to you anymore. That's what he's saying. I'm not even going to bring it up anymore. The days I didn't do all the days I kept the law complete. I'm not even going to brag. It's rubbish. Don't look at how good Paul is. That's what he's saying. By the way, the man who would walk up to me at First Assembly of God when I was over there for 18 years, Gene and I were over there, our girls were over there, some of us were over there, came from First Assembly of God, I was the senior associate pastor there. This godly man would walk up to me almost every Sunday morning, his name was Jim Ohl, and he'd say, brother, do you know we're just rubbish? I love that man. He's like, if you know the story of Enoch, he walked with God and God took him. Well, God took Jim Ohl last night at 8 o'clock. I got the phone call. One of the greatest men of God I've ever known in my life, who could claim all of the things Paul just claimed. If you knew Jim Ohl, you know what I'm talking about. This amazing little man. I mean, I'll tell you really quickly. He was on the board at First Assembly years ago, and I was on the board at the time. And I said, I'm not going to say anything till Jim Ohl speaks. Because if he was the E.F. Hutton. Remember the commercials? If E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. And so I said, I'm not going to say a thing until Jim Ohl speaks. I went through the whole 2.5 hour, almost 3 hour board meeting. Jim Ohl never said a word. I came home. Gina said, how did it go? I said, I'm not going to get to say anything because Jim Ohl never speaks. He just sits there. The next meeting, 1 month later, somebody was arguing about that, you know, we have these kids coming in from the city that we're having midnight basketball every Friday night, which was an amazing thing. 150 kids from the inner city coming in, playing basketball in a safe setting in St. Charles. Well, that thing rocked. Well, somebody got mad because these kids were wearing ball caps in the building. You know, they didn't take their ball caps off. So they had a board meeting and they're arguing about these guys that having ball caps on. And about 3/4 of the way through that meeting, this is Jim Ohl. Kids dying and going to hell, and we're arguing about ball caps in the auditorium. What kind of people are we? Well, I wasn't going to say anything to follow that. That was the second silent meeting that I had. But this man always said to me, those things are rubbish. The good that's in you and the good that's in me is rubbish in the presence of God. The Bible says, on my best day, on my best day, I am like filthy rags before the Father. The best I ever bring is like filthy rags before the Father. He goes on to say, Paul goes on to say, he said, if they are all, I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law or fulfilling the law, but which is through Christ, faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness that comes from God is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, because like him in his death and somehow being like him in his death and some and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. In other words, to spend eternity with Christ. That's all he's saying, to spend eternity with Christ. And he goes on to say, now here is where the faith check comes in. So here you go. Not that I have attained any of what I just told you or already been made perfect. By the way, none of us are perfect, but we're all being perfected. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I think that's freeing, don't you? We're being perfected. He goes on to say, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken a hold of it. In other words, perfection. But one thing I do. Do you know that God is looking for one thing, people? When he knocked Saul off that horse on the road to Damascus, he turned him into a one thing guy. He's all about Christ and Christ alone. Now that doesn't mean you don't do real life with your family. That doesn't mean you don't sit down, eat, think about, you know, your family, your loved ones, your grandchildren. Of course you do. But you can do it well and actually do it better through a life with Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, forgetting what is behind, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. How many of us struggle with our past? My feet are in the air, my hands are in the air, my hair is in the air. All of us struggle with something in our past. Wouldn't you love to erase, if there was one thing you could identify to erase it? Can I tell you something? If you give your life to Jesus Christ, it is fully erased. You give your life to Christ, it is fully erased. The Bible says that our sin is cast into a sea called forget, and it'll never be counted against you again. And every time we go back to God and say, but God, do you remember the time I did? No, I don't, actually. No, I don't. It's not that he can't. He chose to throw it into a sea called forget. And by the way, there's no fishing signs all around the sea. How many of us go fishing for things that aren't our own? I didn't know that about him. There's nobody's business about him. We don't need to be judging him. Leave his sign in there too. Leave his sin in there too. Get your pole, take it to the lake of life. Go fishing for the bread of life. You know, today, I got to tell you, I know we got participants, we're going to baptize. But one thing Paul said here, he wants to be linked to the resurrection of Christ. The death and the resurrection of Christ. That's what baptism, water baptism really is. It's a faith check. It's a time where you sit there and you say, okay, as for me, this is what the Bible says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now that, can I tell you something? We'll do it with many faults along the way. We'll do it with many mistakes, and I'll say it this way, and we'll do it with many on purposes of fault. But don't quit. Don't quit. Because God loves you, and he's cheering for you amazingly. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Hey, listen, what do you do? Have you ever had a child? I know the Hickmans have watched Alyssa run a race. I've sat in that audience running a race. You know what we do? Well, first of all, I have to move down because Barb screams like I've never heard anybody scream at a race. That's a mama screaming for her baby. And all of a sudden, do you remember Flo-Jo? Remember Florence Joyner Kersee? Do you remember her in the Olympics? All of a sudden, I see Flo-Jo go by. And I'm like, that's our Alyssa. Flo-Jo just went. And this girl is powering by these other girls. All of a sudden, I'm going, go! Well, she said, I heard you all the way from the other side of the track. Well, that probably is true. Do you think if the parents, if mom and dad are cheering that hard, how hard do you think God is cheering for you? Go! Get up! I know you fell down. Hey, listen, I never saw her one time fall, but I saw some of the students fall. And they took out a knee, and they took out of this, and it took out of that, and they took out somebody else's knee or a shoe or something. And what are those who love the most in those stands with me? Those parents going, it's okay. Go, 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 go. It's okay. Get up. Dust off. Go, 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 go. Who do you think we get that from? We got a good, good father. And I am loved by him. He is the good father. And I am the son because he adopted me. The Bible says that. We are adopted into Christ. Now, here's the deal. Faith check yourself today. As we do these baptisms, would you just take the time to faith check yourself? Pastor Mike's going to be up here in just a little while, and he's going to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to call you forward. At the end of this service, Pastor Mike is going to actually give you an opportunity after you've done this faith check. I really want to be a part of what they're doing here. It's not necessarily at St. Charles River Church, though we would love to have you. We would absolutely love to have you. But the truth is, it's wherever you serve God well. Go do that well. If it's St. Joachim and Anne, be a great Roman Catholic and serve God incredibly well. If it's the Lutheran Church, go be an awesome Lutheran. We get the Lutheran Church in here at 9:30 every morning if you want a good Lutheran Church, Pastor Dave Rispoli. We get to, if you love church at a bar, I'll meet you over at Brewski's. On Wednesday nights, they do a church service every Wednesday night at Brewski's, and I get to fill in on occasion. Hey, listen, my grandfather preached in bars in the 1940s and 50s. Got criticized for it a little bit, you know. But we, whatever it takes to give you Jesus on your terms, that's what we want to do. Pastor Mike's going to give you that opportunity at the end of this service. If you've already done it, welcome to the kingdom. Because all it is a faith step. Isn't that amazing? It's just a faith step. It's not about magic words. Pray this prayer. And God is waiting there with his pen in the book of life. Well, they got to complete the prayer first. Don't we get a kick out of ourselves sometimes? He hasn't said amen yet. He hasn't said, Lord, forgive me. No, but their heart is repentant. And it's a faith step that you're already experiencing, some of you in this room.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.